Good morning. Warm welcome to everyone. It's great to see everyone today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And here we all are, and we will be blessed by being here. Isn't it great to see everyone when you come in and fellowship and wonderful. You're all looking forward to hearing Dale. Come along, Dale. Come and join us.
Just a couple of announcements. Mustard seed on Wednesday, May 19th. So if anybody can help out with that, that's great. Repeating the announcement from last week about the grand piano project, they're looking to get a grand piano. And if anybody has input into that, they'd be happy to hear it. Next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, and the message is Wear Red. Are there any other announcements? Anybody? Sandy.
You probably noticed when you walked in that your librarians have purchased your new library books for this session. We went up on this past week. And so if you would like to sign one out, they're all ready to go. Please feel free to sign one out and enjoy. Thank you.
No further announcements? Okay. Dale pointed out to me in the quips and quotes, he says there's a one there that I really like, and it's from Pope John Paul II, and it says, "Stupidity is also a gift from God, but we must not misuse it." I said to Dale, it's got nothing to do with the message or the scriptures today, but I just couldn't resist it. Great one, great one. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." What a great message that is. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. I'd like to invite Howard to come up here, and I have a feeling he has Sandra with him, to lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. I have to have Sandra up just to keep me on track, or else I'll sing my own version of these songs. I might still do that anyway, but today we're doing three choruses that are very familiar. Be unto your name, the power of your love, and be the center. So please rise and join us, and we'll start with Be Unto Your Name.
Thank you.
great start. Sounds really good up here. The next one is The Power of Your Love. As we prepare our hearts for worship, be the center. Thanks to
Howard and Sandra for those choruses. When I was communicating with Howard earlier on in the week about the choruses, Howard says, I'll try and pick something inspiring. And I think he did just that, don't you? And the way Howard and Sandra presented them was also inspiring. Thank you. And what about all those books out there? All those brand new shiny books from Sandra and Corrine and Julia, who went up to parables and scoured the place, and they started off with a big pile and it was worth thousands of dollars, so they had to prune it down a bit. Charlie said, yeah, they did. But thank you for doing that. Can people be at them now, or have they got to wait until they're going? Whoa, ready to go. Are there any left? Thank you for doing that. That's great. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Almighty Father, what a joy, what a privilege, how wonderful it is, Father, to come into your house on your day. And as we come through the doors, Lord, into the holy sanctuary, we are surrounded by love, by your love, by the love that we have for one another. And we feel this warmth of fellowship, Lord, as we shake hands, as we hug, as we smile. And we know, Father, that this place is filled with your Spirit. And so, gracious Lord, in this time of worship, we pray that each and every one of us gathered here today may be touched by your wonderful Spirit. We pray, gracious Lord, that you will open our hearts and minds that we may hear your voice, for you have something, Lord, to say to each and every one of us. Grant us, Father, a listening ear and wisdom of mind to discern what you are saying to us. And we pray, gracious Father, in this time of worship, that you will accept the praise that we bring. For we come to lift high the name of Jesus. We seek to bring honour and glory to the name which is above every other name. We worship our Lord and our Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray together as our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The scripture reading is taken from chapter 22 of Revelation, verses 12 to 14, 16 to 17, and 20 to 21. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. He who testifies to these things says, Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. And the responsive reading is taken from Psalm 97. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice.
Heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory.
For you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods.
Let those who love the Lord be evil, for he marks the eyes of his faithful ones, and delivers them from the hand of the wicked.
Light is shed upon the righteous, and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name.
Glory be.
We now come to our time of special music in the program, and I'm delighted to welcome Blake Reed up here to lead us in our special music, and I do believe he's got Ashley with him just to help him get through this. So we welcome them to bring for us special music. Thank you.
Good morning. So the song we're going to do today was written in 1912, and it was actually written about 12 years before this guitar was made. Today I'm going to play, it's Great Grandma Reed's guitar. I got it from Dorrit and Grant gave it to me. The top was broke on it, and I took it and I had it fixed and rebraced, and nobody thought we'd be able to play it again, but it plays excellent. It has a real earthy tune to it. So Uncle Alan, Uncle Bear, and Aunt Alma might remember this guitar here. So I'm going to play a song that was one of my grandpa's favorites, and it's called In the Garden. I come to the garden alone, well, the dew is still on the roses, and the joyous I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling, but He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank you.
Yeah,
beautiful. Good job. Thank you. Wow, wasn't that excellent? You know, not just the joy of joining with them in worship in this song that they were singing, but that little piece of history as well about the guitar. Isn't that great? You know, and I'm sure there's quite a few here were looking at that guitar and saying, oh, I recognize that guitar. Great. And it kind of reminds me that yesterday... Yesterday lunchtime, it was my turn to cook, so we went to the fireside. And we got in there, and who's sitting there but Elma? Elma's sitting there with our eldest daughter, and they were having a bite of lunch, and we got to talking. And this just comes to mind because of the bit of history that Blake was giving us about that guitar. Because Elma was telling me how Cremona got its name. And I wonder how many people know that. I'm not going to tell you. Ask Elma. But you know, Iris and I got to talking, and our little village here has so much history. You know, in the little places dotted around, in the sort of old guitars and things that people have in their homes. And we were thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we had maybe had a little coffee morning one Saturday morning and had a kind of a little history sort of a, you know, where people could just contribute a bit to tell us about the area and the stuff that they know about, you know. And I mean, Elmer's knows something else about this area as well, apart from that, I'm sure. Quite a lot. And she tells it in such an interesting and eloquent way. Let your mind tick over that, and let's do something like that, and just find out about where we live. Because, you know, where we are now, this is not Cremona. Cremona's a couple of miles another way, to the east. You find out how that name came from, but you'll have to wait until we do that. But that's great, that's great. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Almighty Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Father, to accept these gifts, and we ask you to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. And a big thank you to Monique and Kelsey for their contribution to our music today. I was waiting to hear what Case was going to do. Perhaps later. But thank you, girls. Did a great job. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Would the children like to come and join me, please?
About a planet. Hang on. On an evening, when the moon comes out, there's one planet which comes up first before all of the others. I haven't asked you anything yet. I'm glad you're enthusiastic. And on a morning, when it starts to get light and all the planets and the stars start to disappear, the very last one to disappear is the same one that's the first one that comes up on an evening. And it gets called the bright morning star. The bright morning star. And it also gets called the evening star because it's up bright. Who knows? If you see that picture, you see the moon?
Yes.
Can you see that bright, shining star next to it?
Yes.
Well, that's a planet. That's the one I'm talking about. Now then, can anybody see what it's called? Is its name on there anywhere? Who knows what it's called? Which planet is it? Hayden, do you know?
No,
that big one's the moon. The shiny one next to it, it's a planet. The moon is our moon that goes around the Earth. This is a planet. Caleb? Is it? Shout it loud.
Venus.
Yeah, it's Venus. Beautiful. It's Venus. That one there, it's the planet Venus. Now then, we don't know very much about Venus. Because most of the time it's covered in thick... Whoa! That's Venus in close-up. No, it isn't. It's Venus. Grant got his bike out and his camera and he went up there and took a picture of Venus. Isn't it Venus? How do we get a picture of Venus when it's all covered in cloud all of the time? Honest, it's Venus. Caleb. Sorry? Well, I'll tell you how we can get a picture of Venus like that. Venus, even though it's all... See, you thought it was the Earth because you've never seen it before. It's always covered in clouds. But this is what it looks like. And we find out what it looks like because we send up satellites. And satellites have got special instruments on them. Like cameras and thermal imaging, and they can work out what it all looks like, and so we get a picture like that. Well, that's one of them. That's Venus. It might look a bit like Earth, but you couldn't live there, could you? You couldn't live on that planet because it's carbon dioxide which is all around it. And we can't breathe that, so we couldn't live there. So that's a planet, and it's called the bright morning star. But in our scripture reading that Dale read this morning, there was a person called the bright morning star. Who was that? Who was it? That's right, it was Jesus. Jesus said that he is the bright morning star. Now then, we can't go and live on Venus, can we? But Jesus, the bright morning star, can come and live inside of us, can't he? That's right. And that's what we want to try and do. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's the bright morning star. Jesus is the light of the world. And he shines. So how does Jesus shine in the world today? How does Jesus shine in the world today? He shines on us. And Jesus is inside of us. So then what? Who's that? That's Jesus shining. So how... Who did Jesus say is the light of the world? He is, but he said that somebody else is the light of the world. Yeah, he says, you are the light of the world. So how is Jesus going to shine in the world today? Through? That's right, through us. Whew, thought we'd never get there. Let's give thanks to God that we survived this. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that when we come together in your house that we have joy, we have so much fun, and you fill our lives with light. Help us, Lord, to be your light, to be the light of the world for you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Chelsea, over to you. I am done.
Sunday school time, and if anybody didn't know it and needs to use it, we have a nursery room where the sound is beamed into there by some magical technology, and there's a window there where you can see. So anybody needs the nursery room, it's there as well. We stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 262, Holy, Holy, Holy. Beautiful old hymn. Beautifully sung, by the way. Good singing. Well done. We come to our time of prayer. Sometimes you come into church on Sunday morning, you know, and you look around at who's here. And all around the church and the sanctuary, we can see answered prayer. The people who we've been lifting up to God in prayer are here with us today. So many of them. Isn't that great? Isn't it just wonderful? You know, and sometimes we ask God for things and it might seem like nothing's happening and the prayer's not being answered. But somewhere down the road, the prayer's answered. Because God listens to every single prayer that we offer. And he answers the prayers, but sometimes we're just not tuned in to hear what God's saying to us. And the answer maybe not be what we're looking for. But God answers every single prayer. And he's listening to your prayers now. Even though there may be prayers that are just sitting on your heart or just sitting in your mind, God hears them. Let us bow our heads, join together in fellowship and in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we praise you for the great love that you have for us. We thank you for all of the promises that you have made to us. And for the many gifts that you grant to us for the living of our days. We remember, Lord Jesus, how you prayed for us. That night in the upper room. You prayed for us, Lord, that we might be one with you and with one another. Help us, Father, to realize your presence with us now in this time of worship, in this time of prayer. As we speak with you, Father, may we be sensitive to your words as you speak with us. Help us, Lord, to be alive to your Spirit as you inspire us to be the people that you want us to be. And we pray, gracious Father, that we may be worthy representatives of your presence here on earth. And as we thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us, we are mindful of those who are not here with us today. We rejoice, Lord, that we are able to gather as a church family. And we give thanks again for your loving Spirit that dwells with us and within us. And so we pray now, Father, for our friends who are not here. We can look around our sanctuary, Lord, and we can see places where different people normally sit. And in our mind's eye, we can see their smile. Wherever they may be now, Lord, we pray that they may know that you are with them, that you are blessing them, that we, their church family, are thinking of them and praying for them at this time. And for those, Lord, who are sick, whether in body, mind, or spirit, we can see them in our mind's eye, Lord. Our hearts and our love goes to them. And we pray for them, Lord, for your healing presence and the uplifting of their spirits. And we ask you, Lord, to grant them your blessed peace. We pray now for them in silence. As we thank you, gracious Lord, for our church family, we thank you again and we pray for our own families. We know that everyday family life is so very often a roller coaster of many different emotions. But we are thankful, Lord, that our love for one another and your love for us, which dwells within us, binds us closely together. And when we also have your wonderful love for us, Lord, intertwined within our family unit, then we have that wonderful and great stability of faith upon which our whole life is founded and upon which, Lord, by your grace and strength, we stand firm. Father, grant us your peace. And hear our prayer. We ask you, Father, to bless us as we go forward into a new week. We ask you to grant us your presence and your peace as we face whatever life throws at us. And in whatever situations we may find ourselves, may we remember that we are yours and you are ours. May we lift high the name of Jesus, and may we bring honor and glory to your holy name. We ask you, Father, to hear our prayers. For we come to you and we offer them in and through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. This is the word of the Lord. See if I work off of that. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In them and you and me, I in them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me be in them and that I myself may be in them. Second reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. He said to them, "This is what I told you. I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. That works better.
Thanks to Tim for the reading of the scriptures. Thank you. We rise again and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn 427, "Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways."
Forgive our foolish ways.
Another beautiful, beautiful old hymn. And I think you'll find that quite a few of the hymns that we're singing this morning are probably around about the same age as this guitar that's here. Great, isn't it? Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Those of you who take note of the title of my message may be forgiven for thinking that this message is going to be about the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, especially due to the fact that earlier on we sang the Trinity hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. But that's pure coincidence. We sang that hymn because Peggy requested it. And if Peggy, of all people, requests something, she, above all people, deserves it. And so we sang it. It was our mum's favourite hymn. You see, history's playing a big part in everything here today. So we sang that hymn. But this message here, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, is not a Holy Trinity message. But it could be in a couple of weeks' time, because that's Trinity Sunday. So it might be then. First of all, I want to talk about fingerprints. Fingerprints. Fingerprints are nothing new. We've all got them. Right on the tips of our fingers. And you might surprise you to know, but you've got them on the tips of your toes as well. You can have your toes fingerprinted. But I wonder, do you know what your fingerprints are for? Do you know what your fingerprints are for? Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord God our Father created each and every one of us. And when he did so, God had a special purpose for every single bit of us that he put into us. And as time goes by, science is just really discovering what the purpose is of some of the things that God built into us. Now, when God gave us fingerprints, he did not do that so that clever detectives could track down criminals and villains, though they are used for that purpose. All of these delicate little swirls and ridges and patterns that lie at the tips of our fingers, and they are called epidermal ridges, are for better transmitting the signals when we touch something to the sensory nerves. The brain is then able to better identify what it is that we are touching. Fingerprints. I touch this, and those sensory nerves tell me that this is something smooth, it's a glass. And I touch something else, I think, what's this? And the nerve come through the fingerprints that we all have, and it transmits it through to us. Isn't that amazing? I just found that out when I started to dig into this sort of thing again. They also assist us in gripping rough, smooth or wet surfaces. Now, the ancient peoples of years gone by may not have realized the extreme uniqueness of every person's fingerprints, but as far back as 1,790 years before Christ, during the reign of the Babylonian king Hammurabi, convicts were fingerprinted. Wow! In China, as early as 246 years before Christ, fingerprints were used to sign legal contracts. In 1788, a German anatomist, Johann Christopher Andreas Mayer, proved and published what God has given to us, that fingerprints are unique to every single individual. That was 1788. The idea caught on so fast that by the 1800s, data banks of fingerprints were being collected all over the world for identification purposes. Wow! We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord God made us all, and He made us all individually. We are all different. We look different on the outside. We are different on the inside as well. Recently we had, join our church family here, two babies, twins. And we look at these twins and we say, these are identical twins. And on the first Sunday when they came, I said to Dave, which one is that? And he said, I don't know. But I'm sorry to tell you, there is no such thing as identical twins. You go and ask Mum which one is that, and she will tell you which one that is. And so will Dave now, and so will their other two children. They know which is which, because they are different. We call them identical twins because they look identical to us who only see them occasionally. But you ask Mum and Dad and their sisters, and they're not identical. Every day science is discovering just how unique and singularly different we all are. You know quite well that we have totally different deoxyribonucleic acid. Now you knew that, didn't you? Which, as you know, is sometimes called DNA. DNA. Our DNA is our own. We've all got it, and we're all different. And now these same clever detectives use this DNA to even more effectively track down criminals and find out who did what. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. High-tech gadgetry has now made it possible for us to open sealed doors just by looking at them. Wow, did you know that? Well, to be more accurate, looking at a retina scanner. Isn't that something? Something that scans our eye and it knows who we are. Why? Because they're all different. We all have a totally different retina in our eye. All unique. All uniquely different. When you get home, if you happen to have an x-ray of your skull lying around, take a look at your nasal sinuses. They too are not the same as anyone else's. They are unique to you. Totally different. And what about your dental records? Totally different. You are unique. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And we are finding that out more and more and more as scientists discover what God created. Fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord God created each and every one of us in a unique pattern that no one else has. It's you. It's just you. And God made you just as He wanted you to be made when He made you through the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we come to our set lectionary reading for today, which is the one from St. John, there seems to be a bit of a contradiction going on. Because here, Jesus is saying, you're all one. You are all one. The whole lot of us together. Not individual, separate, but you're all one. And this scripture from St. John is part of what is known as Christ's final discourse. Christ is in the upper room. They've had their last meal, the Lord's Supper as we call it. And these are His final words and His final prayers following that supper. And what we read in verses 20 to 26 is part of what is known as Jesus' high priestly prayer. And what is unique about this special prayer of Jesus is in that prayer 2,000 years ago, or however long it was, Jesus prays for you and for me. He prays for you and me. My Father, He said, it is not for them alone, His disciples who He's been talking about, it's not for them alone I but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Wow. Do you see it? 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Remember Jesus' words? You, Father, are in me and I am in you. So there's the first part, 1 + 1. The Father and the Son are one. Jesus came that we might get to know God. The world did not know God. It was far removed from God. There are lots of people in the world today who do not know God. But Jesus came that we might know God. His will, His intent for us, His love, His grace, His forgiveness, His power, and His peace. Anybody wants to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. But there is even more to God's mathematical mystery. For Jesus goes on to pray that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. It's not as complicated as it sounds. Can you see the extension of God's mathematical equation? 1 + 1, God and Jesus are one, now extends to 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And that extra one is you. God the Father, God the Son, and you are one. Wow! The they that Jesus is referring to in his prayer is you and me. Jesus praying for us all those years ago. And that is unique and that is incredible. This is the only prayer where Jesus looks way ahead into the future and prays for you and I. God the Father plus God the Son plus you equals one. There's really no magic in God's math. We are one in God. We are one in one another. We are all one. Very soon following this event, following the resurrection, the Holy Spirit will lead the disciples to form Christ's church here on earth. Christ's church to represent the body of Christ, the holy church of which we are a part. And Jesus at this point is establishing that relationships are the key to survival and the only way to prosper. We must have relationships with God through Christ Jesus, and we must also have good relationships with one another, within Christ's church, within the family. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to be one with one another. It's important. It's essential. The German philosopher, and I'm going to try and say this, Schopenhauer, that sounded pretty good, didn't it? That's a name, by the way. The German philosopher Schopenhauer compared the human race as a bunch of porcupines huddled together on a cold winter's night. A bunch of porcupines huddled together on a cold winter's night. He says, the colder it gets, the more we huddle together for warmth. But the more we huddle together, the closer we get to one another, the more we hurt one another with our sharp quills. And in the cold, lonely nights of Earth's winter, eventually we begin to drift apart and wander out on our own and freeze to death in our loneliness. You can kind of hear what he's saying, can't you? You can hear what he's saying. Jesus was well aware of our need for intimate human companionship. But he was also well aware of the challenges and the sharp quills that we face in the process of coming close together. And here, in his high priestly prayer, he prays for the unity of his church. For he knows how an ununified church will fail to bring him the glory. He wants us to be united. It's the only way that we can glorify Christ. Today is Ascension Sunday, the Sunday following Ascension Day, which was Thursday. And we read from Luke's Gospel of Christ's ascension into heaven with his disciples. All of his followers, his friends were there. He left them. He was taken up into heaven. Just for a few moments, put yourselves into the minds, if you like, of the disciples, the followers. Think of the events that they had just recently been through. They had recently experienced Jesus' passion, his violent crucifixion, themselves running away and deserting him, frightened and fearing for their lives. Then there was his burial. And then there was this amazing resurrection, which they were struggling to come to grips with. He's back. He's alive. They've got him back again. Their friend, their saviour, their Lord, he's with them. And now, he's gone again. He's gone again. You'd expect them to be sad at this event, after going through all what they've gone through. But listen to what the scripture says. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And they all started complaining. Oh no, it's happened again. He's left us again. It's over. Didn't say that at all, did they? Doesn't say that at all. What it does say is then they worshipped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. With great joy. How can this be? This great joy thing. The clue is in verse 45. I remind you, it says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. When Christ opens our minds to the scriptures, it is then that we are able to experience his joy. His great joy. He opens our minds to the scriptures when we worship together as his church, as he asks us to, as he tells us to, as he commands us to come together in love and unity. And when we are together, he opens up for us the scriptures. He opens our minds. Jesus established his church that we might experience his joy together, that we might not wander off on our own like prickly porcupines in the freezing winter, where we might freeze to death in isolation. I came, said Jesus, that you might have life, that you might have life. And we experience life in Christ through being one with him, one with the Father, and one with one another. One plus one plus one equals one. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen. We sing our closing hymns. First hymn number 497. We sing to the glory of God, near to the heart of God. 312 to be God's people.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer to be God's people.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.
Amen.